The rumble of the Anjuta means it's time for the Coordinating Committee Report. I'm Ruth Greenblatt. January was a busy month, and so will February be. We're holding a town hall on the UC Retirement Program Options Task Force featuring UC-wide Senate Chair Dan Hare and Vice Chair Jim Chalfant. The meeting is Monday, February 8th from 2 to 4 p.m. in Mission Hall. This should feature a good discussion of the new retirement benefits tier, led by two of the members of the task force, both of whom have an outstanding understanding of the issues involved. This should help us generate our division response, which needs to occur in the first 10 days of this month. The report was discussed at January's Academic Council, and it appears that the Senate divisions each have a fairly similar assessment of the situation. The major points are that adverse impact on recruitment and retention may be the greatest for health sciences because of high competition, the long duration of training, and thus later initiation of retirement savings, and high educational debt. Also, many health sciences faculty have salaries greater than the $117,000 PEPR limit at the time of their initial appointment, so they will experience the full impact of the PEPR limit effects. The adverse impact on recruitment and retention may be particularly pronounced for candidates from underrepresented minorities and those who are first to college within their families due to high educational debt and the high cost of living at most UC campus locations. This could set back efforts to diversify UC faculties. While some competitor institutions have similar defined contribution plans for retirement, most of these have a higher salary structure, so total remuneration is better at those other competitors. The new tier may have a larger impact on recruitment than the previous new tier in 2013 because it is a major change and because the retirement of baby boomers will cause a relatively sizable efflux of faculty in the next decade. UC does need to create an advantageous mechanism for annuities for the defined contribution retirement accounts, since the outside market annuity plans often have sizable charges which can consume interest that accrues. Our division meeting was well attended, though we experienced significant technical problems with satellite sites. We will work on improving the satellite capability for future meetings, including doing rehearsals. It is clear that space planning is a major interest for many faculty. The approach of the meeting inspired improved communications from administration space planners ahead of the meeting and preparing the materials. And through this, we discovered there is a higher level UC Space Committee, which actually had a faculty representative already who had been appointed by Bob Newcomer, but who was not listed in any of the committee rosters up until a day or two before our meeting. We should discuss how to organize the Senate Space Committee representative group to optimize communication back to the faculty and from the faculty to space planners, perhaps having an actual space committee, a formal space committee within our bylaws. There is a bit of difference of opinion about how much planning has been done for Block 33 to date and other buildings prior to the first committee meetings with faculty, and it's clear we need to be proactive to ensure that we achieve full participation in planning. I think the chancellor did a good job answering faculty questions at the meeting, and the event provided a more open discussion of space-related issues than has occurred previously. So overall, I think it was successful. This month's coordinating committee meeting will include a presentation by Chief Information Officer Joe Bankford, who is also our campus's cybersecurity leader. Senate-wide, there's a great deal of concern about the new UC cybersecurity monitoring and its potential impact on faculty privacy and academic freedom. The new system involves monitoring of network activity and was implemented without a formal announcement, perhaps related to concerns around the legalities of the UCLA breach. This breach will cost UC millions, and it apparently originated within the campus network, not in the medical center. The invaders were apparently looking for intellectual property, but found their way into the electronic medical record and breached thousands of personal health records. The breach attests to the vulnerability related to the weakest link within a network, and it's a major challenge in our academic environment, which includes a multitude of users and platforms, including students, who are transitory celebratory in nature. The manner of the announcement may have aggravated the situation and increased concerns about faculty rights. When it appears that the new system likely does not alter current privacy protections, which prohibit IT from accessing without permission the content of faculty computers and mail. The system is said to be focused on aberrant patterns of activity that may indicate individual computers having rogue functions, such as serving as an entry point for attacks on firewalls or sending large quantities of spam, which can occur without user awareness. CIO Bankford can address this issue as well as factors related to indexing or non-indexing of UCSF web materials and cost issues related to UCSF IT. The Office of the President in the last day posted some information on the cybersecurity plan, and we will provide that link to Senate members. The description is, I think, to me, not very specific, and that may be required for security purposes, but the late formal announcement of this plan and the vagueness of the language may serve to continue people's concerns about the new policy. I do want to mention that Academic Council, the UC Committee on Affirmative Action and Diversity, reported that the Presidential Scholars Program that provides 1 to 2 year funding for underrepresented minority postdocs can be applied to any postdoctoral training in the UC system, now including health sciences. Also, once a scholar, always a scholar, in the sense that even if the recipient after their postdoc goes to another institution, if they return to UC, salary and startup package benefits can be applied. The first 5 years of faculty salary is covered, and I suspect that may be 1x. And now other startup components may also be covered. So the UCSF, EQAP, and other committees may want to ensure that search committees are aware of this and that campus administrators consider this benefit when they're creating new faculty positions. We will see you on Thursday. We should have an interesting discussion with the chief information officer.